Deerhead Radio on AM 1230, KPRL, and 99.3 FM with Jimmy Purdy is brought to you by Shifting Gears in Paso Robles, 1621 North River Road. Shifting Gears has you covered from your weekend cruiser to your daily commuter. And now let's join Jimmy Purdy on The Right Choice, AM 1230, KPRL, 99.3 FM, and KPRL.com.
Well, good morning and welcome in. Thanks for tuning in on this little drizzly Saturday morning here in Paso. Anyway, I don't know what the weather's like out there in Chandon or Whitley Gardens, Creston, San Miguel. Maybe it's a little warmer in San Miguel. Tascadero is a little drizzly too. Santa Margarita, how you doing out there? I'm trying to tag all the cities out there. Did I miss anybody? Templeton, where you at? Templetucky. Do we kind of forget about Templeton because it's like the intermediary in between? But trust me, don't sleep on Templeton. That's for sure. The last known small town, the biggest little town I think is in the county. I think it's all North County. I don't think we get anything over the grade. So shout out to San Luis if you can hear us over there on the other side of the hill. But anyway, thanks for tuning in. This is Gearhead Radio. Phone lines are open, 805-238-5775. That's 805-238-KPRL. Text line is also open. I'm here for the next hour to help you with your vehicle or questions about the auto industry or vehicle problems. You have my undivided attention until there's a commercial, and then I got to take a break. But until then. A few things we want to go over today. What do we have? I don't really have anything on the schedule, so we're just gonna fly by the seat of our pants and see where this thing takes us. That's kind of my MO for the last couple of years, anyway. So seems to have been working out all right. I seem to figure it out. I fill the space, that's for sure. And I was just talking about like trying to make this show more structured when I started years ago and had all my notes and everything lined up, and it just didn't seem to be, it just wasn't fun that way. It's definitely more exciting when I don't know what I'm going to be talking about and I just let it go. Hey, it's your show too, so when you call in, ask me a question, I'll just take it down that path. We can go there. I've been doing this for, I don't know, 15 years or so, maybe longer than that as far as in the auto industry, so I definitely have a lot to talk about. It's just, where do I start? And I only got an hour, so I gotta try to make it entertaining for you. Well, first things first, let's start with some weather. It looks like we do have some AM drizzle. So, yeah, you might be getting a little bit of rain where you're at. High of 90. So it's warming up today. It's going to be a little humid. Tomorrow, sunshine and 90 degrees. Lows in the 50s, highs in the 90s. All next week, got a little the cloud coverage coming back in the beginning next week. 87 Monday, 77 Tuesday, and we're hanging out that way till next weekend where we get up into the mid-80s. It is Mother's Day weekend, so looks like that's going to be a beach day for tomorrow. If you're looking for something to do. The beach would be a good option. But happy Mother's Day as well. As far as events going on this month, got to touch back into some of this other stuff. We have lots of cool events going on. I mean, May is our car show season month. So if you don't have the car out ready to go yet, you got about a week to get that thing figured out so you can make it to some of these car shows coming up. A few things I want to talk about. The Best of the West Antique Equipment Show. That's May 22nd to the 24th out in Santa Margarita. That is just a super cool event. Me and Diane were just talking about that before I came on. That is an awesome event. If you have never been to that one before, they got steam trains, tractors, antique cars. I mean, a little bit of everything for everyone. It's super. It's really cool. Antique doesn't quite call anymore, right? Like classic cars now technically are like 1990 is like technically a classic car, and then you get into antiques, which is like, I mean, technically by the years like 1970 1960s like considered an antique. So I don't know what you call these like early 1900s anymore. There's got to be a new classification as we get into these later years, right? I don't know what that could possibly be. Maybe vintage? I don't know. Is antique or vintage sound older to you? I don't know. But we definitely need to classify some of these things in a different category. But it's a super cool show, nonetheless. Put that on your calendar. May 22nd, 24th, Best of the West. Not a lot of promotion for that one, so I want to give them a shout-out. Also, end of the month, Golden State Classics. We got the car show at the City Park. It's always a great show. Fills up the whole City Park. I don't know if there's much more I can say about that. The Classic at Pismo is also coming up. So as far as dates, they are back-to-back there. May 23rd is the Golden State Classic show. Like I said, May's the month, so everything overlaps, and it's all or nothing here. So get ready to manage your time correctly if you want to make all these things. May 23rd is the Golden State Classic show, and then the Classic at Pismo is May 29th through the 31st. So that's the next weekend. This is the 40th annual at Pismo. Awesome show. Definitely highly recommend that one. Lots of fun stuff going on. Couple other ones. We have the Shandon Memorial Car Show, May 24th, Barbecue and Car Show. That's out in Shandon. And then Pints for Flights. That sounds like a pretty cool one. I don't think it has anything to do with planes, but here at the Poorhouse, here locally in Paso, May 31st, a little informal car show. And from what I hear, they're going to start doing this monthly or weekly. So check out the Poorhouse for a little more info on that one, but I like to give shout-outs to the local places around here that are putting together cool little spots like that. So they want to put on a little informal car show, little meetup. And we have, like, the rotation, Templeton, Atascadero, Paso, Santa Margarita, every Friday night if you're looking for somewhere to go hang out. That's community, right? That's what it's all about. So it's super cool to see these things happening and anybody trying to put something together, I give props for, because it's not an easy thing to do. It is not easy to put an event together. It's not cheap, and it's not easy. So I like to give shout outs to those ones if you're looking for something to put on your calendar. All right, moving on. What do we have in the news today? A couple things here. You know, one thing I want to bring up is self-driving car or driverless cars. We've probably heard of them. Waymo, I think it's called, out in Vegas. That's getting kind of popular. I think they're putting them in LA, maybe up in San Francisco, the big cities. It's a little driverless cab. It's about the size of like a Mini Cooper, and it drives around. I don't know if you've seen them or not. There's an app, and you click on the app, and the thing comes and picks you up. Now, there's only a certain area that it'll take you, or that'll pick you up and drop you off. Kind of similar to, have you seen the scooters, the electric scooters you can rent? There's like Lime. I think they're in San Luis, but there's one company called Lime, and there's another blue one. It's like Call a Bird or something like that. But it's a little electric scooter, and they're just sitting there on the sidewalk. And you can walk up to it. You download the app. You scan the QR code on the scooter. You can grab it, and you can rent it. And then when you're done with it, you just leave it where you stop. You can't just leave it anywhere. There's like a little geo-fenced area like on the map that says specific spots where you can leave it on the corner of another sidewalk. Kind of a cool little thing. It costs a couple bucks. You grab it and take it where you want to go. So they're taking that and moving it into vehicles. Now you can actually get a car to come pick you up and take you where you want in a certain area. It's kind of a new, I mean, it is brand new. So it's kind of a test pilot program. Pretty neat though. I mean, if you're not in a small talk. The one thing I like about taking Ubers and Lyfts when I'm in a different state is like just talking to the drivers and figuring out where the cool places are and the good places to eat and stuff like that. So kind of a bummer you miss out on that, but the convenience is nice. Anyway, I want to get into this here. So what happens when these little driverless cars break the rules? Like, do you get the ticket because you're in the car, you're the passenger? Something like kind of maybe you didn't think about, right? Like, well, hold on a second. Like, I'm not driving. Who's driving then? And it can't be perfect. Right? Like, it's going to make a mistake. Something bad's going to happen. So who gets the ticket? So in here in California, the cops are going to start giving tickets to the driverless cars. But where does that go? So what's the opposite of RoboCop? Human officers writing tickets to driverless cars. So while Hollywood producers probably won't be lining up to buy a screenplay of that scene, It could soon be playing out across California. A new bill introduced to the state assembly will create a process to allow law enforcement officers to cite autonomous vehicles for traffic violations. The California State Assembly Bill 1777 will go into effect on July 1st of this year and give police officers a process for citing driverless cars that break the traffic laws. Specifically, Bill 1777 will allow officers to issue notices of autonomous vehicle noncompliance and to mark the date, time, and location of the alleged violation and the license plate number of the vehicle. Since the logistics of cops pulling over autonomous cars like Waymos and writing them a physical ticket doesn't play out very well, lawmakers came up with a way more elegant solution. Instead of physical tickets, driverless car operators such as Waymo or Zooks will receive notices of noncompliant from the DMV. The DMV will review incidents reported by officers and determine what, if any, penalty is needed. If a self-driving car is involved in an at-fault crash, officers will issue non-compliance citations to the operator's representative, who is required to arrive at the scene. I don't know. We're getting, you gotta put your boots on, because this is getting deep. I don't know if your wheels are turning like mine are, but it sounds like a lot of loopholes going on here, but I gotta take a break. I'll get back into this when we get back.
Seniors Helping Seniors. We provide friendship, non-medical care, and a helping hand. We hire seniors to do this because, well, they don't use TikTok. They just understand each other better. We're fully licensed, bonded, and insured. Call me, Ron Torres, 805-369-2110, 369-2110, or go to seniorcareslo.com. That's seniorcareslo.com. Seniors Helping Seniors.
Adler Belmont Insurance Brokers welcomes Heather Bourdain to its team of commercial property casualty professionals. With more than 20 years of experience, Heather can design insurance solutions that protect your business. Whether you're a contractor, winery owner, farmer, rancher, or manufacturer, Heather is the right person to survey your needs and develop innovative solutions to protect your most important asset. Contact Heather today, 805-540-3900, or Heather at AdlerBelmontGroup.com.
I don't need whole lots of money. I love that song. And actually, it's true. You don't need a lot of money at Paso Tile and Stone, where elegance is made affordable. You know, we have a lot to celebrate. First of all, we're celebrating our third anniversary already. Do you believe that? So by celebrating, I want to say thank you to all the contractors. We have 35 regular contractors that consistently buy from us. So thank you to them. Thank you to all the repeat customers. And for more celebration, we got slabs and prefabs. Buy one, get one free. We have tile for 99 cents. We have luxury vinyl for $1.99 to $2.99. We have 270,000 feet of luxury vinyl. So come on down to 3850 Ramada for tile and slabs and 447 North Main Street for our cabinets and for our luxury vinyl. Blessings to you and your family. Thank you.
If I said remember us, would you know what comes next? I'm not sure, but maybe if I added, hello there, it's Jared. Now you got it. Maybe just a little more help? So here I go. Yes, hello, it's Jared with Hutch Heating and Air. Remember us? Heater not helping much? Call Hutch. Hutch Heating and Air of Atascadero at 466-8199. Or look us up on the web at hutchheatingandair.com.
The Estrella Warbirds Museum and Woodland Auto Display is open with new cars to see and so much wonderful history and fun. Aviation artifacts and memorabilia and the flight simulator is so realistic and entertaining for all. The Estrella Warbirds and Woodland Auto Display on Dry Creek Road in Paso Robles off of Airport Road. Open Thursday through Sunday, 10 to 4.
And welcome back. You are tuned in to Gearhead Radio on AM 1230 KPRL. I appreciate you being here. My name is Jimmy Purdy. I'm the owner of Shifting Gears Auto Repair, located right here in Paso Robles, 1621 North River Road. 15-year ASC certified master technician and local business owner. If you're just tuning in for the first time, the show gets really good at the end of the month because I also bring in my better half, Leanne. She's the wife and also helps run the shop. She comes on the last Saturday of every month, so put that on your calendar if you're looking for something fun to listen to. Phone lines are open, 805-238-5775. Feel free to call in and cut in at any time if you have any questions about your vehicle or what I'm talking about. I never know where I'm going to go with this, so let's buckle in and get ready for the ride here. Before the break, we were talking about autonomous drivers and California cops giving tickets to driverless cars and what exactly that even means, right? Kind of like when you get pulled over and they find something in your car, like, that's not mine. You can play that game, right? So in addition to the new traffic violation rules, Bill 1777 provides additional regulations for the behavior of autonomous vehicles in regard to an emergency response or other closed-off areas. Operators of driverless vehicles will have to create a dedicated emergency response call line as well as a two-way communication device to allow first responders to speak with a remote human operator at the other end. That makes sense. You know, when you're calling someone, you go through the prompts and you're just like, human, I just want to talk to a person. Please stop with the problem. The trick there, look, that I've learned is if you just press zero about 100 times, you just keep over and over and over and over, just keep pushing zero, it'll eventually just transfer you to a person. I don't know if anybody else knows that or just done that, but as I do. I just need to talk to someone for 30 seconds. I'll be done. I'm good with the prompts. I do them and I go through the process and I understand it helps keep their costs down. And I try my best. And sometimes I can navigate those menus and I can get the information I need. Sometimes I don't have the patience for that. This bill will also allow emergency responders to create a geofencing message while operators must adhere to within 2 minutes of receiving the alert to keep their vehicles out of crime scenes or other closed-off areas. That's another one I didn't really think of, right? If they have like a mapped-out area where these vehicles typically pick up and drop people off, but there's an accident or there's a crime scene, how fast can they update that map area, right? So now you're in a driverless car and that 2 minute drive just turned into 20 minutes because it's got a reroute and the reroute takes it outside of its geo-fenced area and so it has no way to get there. And that's an interesting one. There's definitely going to be a lot of solutions that need to come up when it comes to this. You don't have, it really brings me to like New York taxi drivers, like in Brooklyn, right? Someone that's like lived there their whole life, like the best taxi driver you ever had in your life. Like they don't look at Google Maps. It's like, no, we don't go that way. We go this way. And this is, he knows all the ins and outs of the city and how to get you where you need to go. And that's where you give them a tip, you know? It's like the tips are like just expected now. You're supposed to tip no matter what. Like you just follow the line on the map. I don't like, yes, I see that it's hard and reading comprehensions is difficult and you gotta like follow a map, but also you didn't do anything out of the ordinary, right? You ever been to Vegas and you've been there so many times that you kind of know like you don't need to get on the freeway to get where you're going, but you end up on the freeway with some of the taxi drivers that are around there? Oh, I see what you're doing. I get it. You don't get a tip for that, right? That's like, you're just running the tab up on me and I see what you're doing. So I don't know where I was going with that, but it's interesting to get driverless autonomous and you just kind of instantly think it's going to have the most perfect route. And I don't know, sometimes a person can get you around, a local person can get you around their town much quicker than all the maps and stuff like that. It's interesting when something pops up like that, where a crime scene pops up or an accident, like, well, now what is it going to do? It's not allowed in that area. Also, the bill here has carve-outs to increase scrutiny and testing surrounding autonomous vehicles. The new bill will require 500,000 miles of testing, depending on the size and weight of the vehicle. It also requires that every operator create an annual first responder interaction plan and establishes new standards for data reporting. Brand new world. I mean, it's a cool concept. I get the idea, but now we're starting to see the nuances, right? We'll see where this thing goes. We'll keep you updated on it. All right, we're going to shift gears. Let's segue into brake fluid here. There's a recall on brake fluid. And I like talking about brake fluid because I feel like it's something that we don't get a lot of information on. And there's a big recall here on GM's brake fluid, 40,000 bottles. Good morning on Gearhead Radio.
Good morning, Jimmy.
Hey.
Hey, I'm on the 2002 Ford 4.2 engines.
The modular V6. Yep.
Are those heads, are they a solid head? Are they prone to crack? Or the reason why I'm asking is my old Ford, I blew a head gasket, and I'm debating whether I want to throw it. I mean, I don't understand. It only has 345,000 miles on it.
Yeah, man, this is barely broken in.
I made a mistake. I changed the oil last week, and I just bought new tags for it last week.
Did you wash it, too?
I did not. I wasn't going to go that far.
Oh, man, okay. So if you washed it, you were guaranteed. You were trying to make that thing break.
Well, see, I'm on a mileage mission on that thing.
Yeah, no, that, yeah, they're pretty solid. The modular V6. It's, I mean, they got a pretty bad rap just in general. Just the modular Ford is like terrible. But really,
excellent motor.
Yeah, more for oiling problems than anything. So, the heads are pretty. I mean, yeah, there's no really much issues with them. I usually get them with a rod knock before I see a blown head gasket on those. Kind of interesting.
Well, that's because people change oil too regularly.
Yeah, too weird. They're watering down the oil, huh?
That's it.
You gotta let that sludge build up a little bit. Get that tussin in you.
Yeah. Yeah, because I say, if they're not prone for crack or anything, I might just, you know, put gaskets on it.
I mean, you know, just like anything, you never know until you take it apart. But the valves. I think the valve seats. Is there an issue with those ones? I don't think there's anything that's like I've seen a pattern on those. You take them off, service them, and typically they're pretty solid.
Yeah,
that's an easy one too. V6.
Well, I drove the other night. It was running a little bad on, you know, when it warmed up a little bit, it did all right. And I got it home the next morning. It cranked, and didn't want to start. So I'll come back to that tomorrow this afternoon and deal with it. It made about maybe about a half a rotation, whoop, and stopped. That bit hydraulic.
Oh, wow. That bad, huh? Interesting.
I think that's the only thing I can say, because it will not turn over now. I'm going to pull the plugs out tonight, crank it over, see how much water comes shooting out of it.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. I mean, with that many miles, I guess anything's possible.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We'll find out tonight. You could probably get an engine for that thing for pretty cheap.
I was thinking about that, too.
Yeah.
Be honest with you, the rest of the truck's in good shape. You know, you got one dent from one screw, little dent that I messed up, but
well, you know a guy for that.
I know. But he's lazy.
He's really busy and kind of lazy.
He won't do it. I've talked to him.
You talk, yeah. Like, well, that's good.
Like they say, you know, I was going to do this all in my spare time, but for some reason, I put my spare time someplace and I can't find it.
Yeah, it's lost. Like the bag of marbles. I don't know where the hell they went. I lost my marbles. Yeah, those. Yeah, I mean,
no, your marbles come in the last Saturday of every month.
Yeah, that's right. On. They're in her purse. You know, I have that talk a lot about like head gasket versus engines, and it's like, man, like it's on that one too. Like you, I don't think a lot of people are going after those V6s, so you could probably source an engine for that thing for. I mean, it probably wouldn't be that much. Probably not much more than time and energy to do a head gasket on it, but...
Yeah.
Oh, 340,000, I mean, probably about that time anyway, but... Yeah, that's the conversation I have a lot with, like, you're going all the way down to a head gasket, especially with 300,000 miles, is like, man, you put that thing together and, like, and 8 months later, the bottom end lets is like, what a waste of time that was, huh?
Yeah.
But anyway.
But there's something about getting the mileage out of the same motor.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, there's a little bit of pride there. Huh? Well, you've gone this far. We're all gonna pray for Tom. We're gonna hear about the saga of the F-150. We're gonna get that thing to 1,000,000 miles.
Right.
I love it.
I won't make it. Hey, there it goes.
There it goes.
All right.
Thanks for the call, Tom. Bye. We'll see you. Bye. And on that note, I'm gonna take a break. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
Ace Auto Care, 1 mile east of El Camino on the corner of Traffic Way and Via, Atascadero.
Fox News, I'm Jack Callahan. A three-day ceasefire between Russia and Ukraine continues. President Trump hoping it is extended.
It's the worst thing since World War II in terms of life. 25,000 young soldiers every month. It's crazy. So it could very well be.
The ceasefire is scheduled to run through Monday. The president says the deal also includes a swap of 1,000 prisoners from each side. At Russia's annual military parade in Red Square today, President Putin predicted eventual victory. A deadly incident at Denver International Airport. A woman on the runway was struck by a departing Frontier Airlines flight late last night and partially sucked into the jet's engine. That started an engine fire. The plane's crew aborted the takeoff. Passengers were evacuated, some of them suffering minor injuries. Not clear yet why that woman hopped the airport fence and was crossing the runway. America's listening to Fox News.
This is Desi.
This is Melissa.
This is Katrina. Welcome back to your Eagle Energy 76 Country Store.
You already know that we have more than just fuel. We have what fuels you. When you fill up that car or truck of yours with 10 gallons or more, you get your choice of a refreshing fountain drink, a fresh brewed iced tea, or coffee.
Each and any size that we offer for free. Just show us your receipt.
We have an amazing amount of food in our deli that's more than just snacks.
Like our delicious smash bowl. That's mashed potatoes, corn, chicken, and cheddar cheese covered in gravy.
Call ahead for anything in the deli and we will have it ready for pickup.
We also offer a complete family meal that you can call in or pre-order or just stop on by.
The family meal includes your choice of 12 pieces of battered fried chicken, 20 fresh mojo potatoes,
and 6 biscuits, all for only $25. Just head to the Eagle Energy Country Store on the corner of Highway 46 East and Golden Hill Road in Paso Robles.
The Eagle Energy Country Store is now open on Saturdays from 10 to 5, serving delicious fresh chicken.
See you at the country store.
We'll see you at the country store.
Serving San Luis Obispo County for your weed abatement needs, your best bet is Ken Silva. From half acre to 25 acres, integrity, hard work, and quality service. Mowing accomplished with tractor and flail mower, which is cost effective and more efficient. Clean it and cut it with Ken Silva. Free estimates. Call or text Ken Silva, 805-459-6011.
The Downtown Paso Robles Main Street Association is pleased to announce the annual Paso Robles Olive and Lavender Festival today, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. in the downtown city park. Enjoy everything the olive and lavender industries have to offer. Demonstrations, arts, crafts, collectibles, food, and more. The annual Paso Robles Olive and Lavender Festival today, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. in the downtown city park. Admission is free. More info at pasorobelsdowntown.org.
Hi, folks. Brian of Stein's Famous Bagels. Remember Stein's in Atascadero? Bagels are my passion. Our family has opened a wholesale bakery in Paso Robles. We're open to the public on Saturday mornings from 8 to noon, located at 2917 Union Road, Suite G, east of Golden Hill. Get a dozen fresh baked bagels or a bagel sandwich. Try one of our favorites, the jalapeno cheddar or the everything bagel. Can't make it on Saturday? Find our bagels now at Valley Fresh and many other local retailers. Follow us on Facebook, 805-975-5520.
And welcome back. This is Gearhead Radio. I'm your host, Jimmy Purdy from Shifting Gears Auto Repair. Phone lines are open, 805-238-5775. Text line is also open, 805-238-5775. What a fancy piece of technology there, huh? You can text right in. I can read it out if you have anything you want to bring up. You don't want to call. Speaking of calls, before the break, Tom calling about his F-150. So we'll have to keep tabs on that one, and we'll call it the saga of the F-150. It's like the saga of that Ford with the transmission issue. There's a Ford Ranger, too, I remember. We got a lot of calls about. And sometimes I wonder if cars are ever going to get fixed. Sometimes we get these, for lack of better terms, projects. They're not really projects. They're just, I don't want to call them nightmares because that's not fair. Just sometimes it's a little outside of the norm. And sometimes you get a little caught up in like the day-to-day and it's like, oh, I've seen this before. It should be this. And you test and confirms and perfect and then didn't fix it. Kind of catch you off guard a little bit. Huh? All right. Well, let's look at this thing again. You're going to, you know, get a little more creative with it. And then something else breaks in the meantime because now the car's been there for a few days. Like it's all time, right? When vehicles get to the point, 200,000, 250,000, even before that, they start hitting that 150K. Cars are lasting a lot longer, granted, right? Like the mileage, like the expectation out of vehicles is much, much higher than it ever was or ever has been. So at 150,000, 120,000, you know, get in for the major services, try to be preventative, timing belts, you know, spark plugs, that stuff. That's all well and good. That's all preventative. But if you have a problem, something breaks, you know, it's every single time this is the first time this vehicle's ever given me a problem. And then there's some sort of confusion on why there would be other multiple things that also break at the same time, right? It's like, well, yeah, if you just said you've had it for like 100, that's 10 years. That's 10 years of just maintenance. And now something's broken. And now there's a few other things that have also gotten caught into this, you know, mess. And that's just what happens, right? Cars work good until they don't. It's like going to the doctor and you're like, wow, I've never had high cholesterol before. What's up with that? Come on, doc. I've been coming to you for 10 years. It's supposed to be healthy. It's like things just happen, right? It's just, I don't know. It's tough not to laugh about it because it's something we see all the time. It is a very frustrating situation for the vehicle owner, but it's what happens, you know? And sometimes we get these cars in that, man, they really kick our butt. We spend a lot more time than I can even begin to tell you. And I'm sure if there's anybody else listening that works on cars, you've been there. It happens. It happens to all of us. I don't care how many years I talk to shop owners, technicians, advisors all across the country all the time with decades more experience than I do. And it's just the same. You don't get away from it. You just get better at dealing with the situation. Doesn't help, but yeah, some cars are just difficult. And it could be the same car you see all the time, and then you just get that one that just wants to, just doesn't want to leave. That's what I've come to terms with. It's just like it really likes it there, and it doesn't want to leave. It's like a hypochondriac, right? Like wants to live in the hospital. Like, there's something wrong with me, doc. Don't let me leave. I really like this. I get a lot of attention here. I get a nice bed. I get a TV to myself. I just want to hang out in the hospital. Not for me. Not what I would want to do. But I feel like some cars just really like the extra attention, and so it's like, okay, you just need a little attention for a couple weeks. Eventually, it has to leave. I can't be here forever. I have yet to have a car that's been there forever. So every time I have one that's like weeks go by, yeah, we're having a hard time figuring it out. We eventually figure it out. So I've yet at this point, knock on wood, had a car that's not left. So that's a positive, right? That's always good. They eventually get figured out. But it just goes without saying, sometimes it's tough. And what I was getting to was when you get that kind of mileage on cars, sometimes it's easier just to cut the losses, right? And with being in transmissions, it's one of the conversations I have to have a lot. Yes, the torque converter's failed. The vehicle has 170,000 miles on it. We could put a torque converter in it, and it will fix the concern that you're having. The concern I'm having, the vehicle's been driven for over a year with a faulty torque converter. How much material, sediment, how many other problems has that failed converter put in through the rest of the transmission? the fluid's dark, so it's obviously been getting hot. So all that hot fluid is now degrading all the rubber components, all the frictions, right? So you see where I'm going here. It's also the torque converter is controlled by some spool valves. If they've been overworked, and for lack of better terms, how much wear is in the valve body, because the torque converter has been maxed out in pressure. So there's a lot of kind of domino effects that happens there, where yes, we could solve the issue with just this one part, but what else is going to happen? And my point is, like, when the head gasket fails on a vehicle with higher mileage, well, now we have coolant contamination in the oil. How long has that head gasket been failing before you were to see the actual symptoms, right? That's the big one. Like, you change the oil, are you looking, I mean, unless it's milky, but by the time the oil is milky, it's very obvious. But that head gasket could be failing for a little. Like, how much have you been topping off the coolant? Oh, I've been topping off the coolant for like 8 months. It's like, and you didn't, that's not good. You didn't see any leaks. So the engine's been consuming coolant for almost a year. Yeah, but when I change the oil, it's not milky. It's not going to be. Right, because most of the water is going to evaporate out because it's hot oil, right? And the water evaporates at 210, 212 degrees. So my point is like, there's a lot of things that lead up to the actual catastrophic failure. Maybe it's been failing for a little while. Now you got this 170,000 mile engine that's been consuming coolant or water, and then you want to do an upper head gasket, or an upper end repair. Well, that also is going to increase the compression just slightly because you got to resurface the head, which takes a little bit off, lowers the combustion port down, which then effectively raises the dynamic compression. So now you're putting a little bit more strain on the bottom end of an engine that's not only is it worn out, but it's been through a little bit of a rough life for the last year or so, right? So the conversation has to turn to, where is the best place to invest this money? Is it worth it to spend twice as much to get from the oil pan to the valve cover warrantied versus just the top of the cylinder head to the valve cover, right? So it's the investment part. It's like, what's the best way to go? And it's just, I'll do whatever you want, right? We can fix it. And I love doing head gasket jobs. I love taking an engine and making it last a long time. Like that's fantastic. I'm all for that. I mean, we're in the repair industry here. We're not in the car sales industry. So the less we can sell, as far as parts is concerned, the better. I want to fix what's in the car. So, and that means doing the head gasket job. But I also don't want you back in a year with a spun rod bearing or a rod knock or something on the bottom end of the engine after you just spent $2,500 repairing the top of the engine. It's not good for anybody. It just sucks. I mean, it just sucks. So it's better to have the conversation. Well, you're going to keep this car? You want to spend a couple thousand dollars? Okay, well, let's seriously talk about like doing a good repair. And same with transmissions, right? Yes, we can pull the transmission out. I can go in there and fix the valve body, do that and this, then the other thing and repair it. How long is that going to last? I don't know, because I don't know what the rest of the transmission looks like. So let's talk about, what's the financially smart thing to do? That's kind of like where that conversation was segueing to. So I know that was quite a rant, but I warned you at the beginning of the show I don't have anything to talk about, so that's what you get. Anyways, let's move into the next recall here. So GM is recalling brake fluid, and I think this is a pretty interesting article, because brake fluid is like, there are so many different types of brake fluid that are on the market, and it's like same with coolant, and it's not just like what the color of the coolant is that you put in your vehicle. It has to meet the specs of the car, and there's so many of them. You just got to make sure you do your research before you start dumping stuff in the car. So the few that are on the market now, .3, .4, .5, and .6. Now, .3 is kind of like your base brake fluid, right? Boiling point of 400 degrees, get to .4, boiling point jumps up a little bit, about 450. You get to .5, I think it's 5.1, I guess they call it. Boiling point of 500 degrees. So that's going to be getting into more of the performance realm. You're not going to really see 5.1 in most vehicles. Now, GM is using 5.1 in some of their heavy-duty trucks. And then you can get to .5 silicone. So that's the big distinction there. You have .5.1 and .5. And .5 is silicone. Now, silicone .5 is not compatible with any other brake fluid. You cannot mix those two. It's kind of like with ethanol, ethylene glycol, and propylene glycol. You cannot mix those two coolants. It will sludge up. It'll cause all kinds of problems. So it's not about just not getting the right specs, or rather, like, it'll cause actual major, major problems. So you have to make sure you're using the right stuff. Now, DOT 5 and 5.1 is for most vehicles, you're not really going to be getting to that realm. DOT 3 and DOT 4 are more the advertised ones that they're going to be the big ones. And the big point between those two is just the boiling point. It's just how much heat the brake fluid can take before it starts boiling over. As soon as brake fluid boils, you lose brakes. That's it. You can't hold hydraulic pressure if the fluid is boiling. So that's what brake fade is. And brake fluid is hygroscopic, meaning that it absorbs water over time, which then effectively lowers the boiling point, because water boils at 212 degrees. So if you to add water to brake fluid over time, well, I mean, doesn't matter if it's over time or right away, the boiling point is going to get lowered. You don't want that, because if you're hauling something, especially with a truck, or if you're just going over the grade and you got your foot on the brake the whole time, which, you know, inside tip, just downshift into a lower gear to keep your brakes lasting a little longer. You're holding your foot on the brake. That fluid is under a tremendous amount of pressure. It has to clamp the calipers or spread the wheel cylinders for the shoes, whatever style brakes you have. The point is, there's a lot of pressure holding components to slow you down, right? And then also the heat of those brake pads against the rotors is being transferred into the caliper, which is also filled up with that brake fluid. So it's not like the brake fluid at the reservoir is getting hot. It's the fluid inside the calipers. There's a lot of heat being generated because there's a lot of friction trying to slow the car down that's being transferred into the calipers, which is filled with the brake fluid. And there's not a lot of brake fluid in there, in those calipers, right? It's like they're very small calipers, whether it's single piston or dual piston. That's why the performance cars have like these huge calipers with multiple pistons, because they can hold more fluid in there, which effectively will help keep the heat dissipated. There's a lot of other tricks they do to keep the heat out of there too, but the point here is, if as your fluid starts absorbing moisture because it's hygroscopic, it's going to lower that boiling point. So it's important to get it flushed out. Now, it's important to know with this recall that if you are flushing it out, to make sure you're getting good quality brake fluid. And what's happening now with this recall is they're finding a bunch of sediment in the AC Delco GM brake fluid. Yeah, like the actual, you try to go get like the right stuff from the manufacturer, not the cheap aftermarket stuff, and they're recalling this fluid. So I gotta take a break, but I'll get into it here after the break.
Who's got the best breakfast around? A recent survey says it's a three-way tie between Joe's Place in Paso, Joe's Place in Templeton, and Joe's One Niner Diner at the Paso Robles Airport. Who took the survey? People with great taste who like food that tastes great. By the way, their lunches are great too. Joe's Place in Paso, Joe's Place in Templeton, and Joe's One Niner Diner at the Paso Robles Airport. Open every day from 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. for breakfast and lunch. Thank you, fellow Americans.
Some people leave the town that raised them, and some stay long enough to change it. In a place where everybody knows your name, one local woman learned patience, grit, and beauty. She polished her craft in quiet corners, collected 12 national design awards, and came home carrying more than just success. She isn't launching jewelry. She is revealing something deeper. Pieces shaped by memory, by resilience, by everything the people around her helped her become. It's simple, but not ordinary. But when it arrives, you'll know it was always meant to be here. Coming soon, Lindsay Jane at K. John's Jewelry Company.
Looking to elevate your tech game? Look no further than John Whitford Communications. From state-of-the-art TV installations that transform your viewing experience to Sonos wireless hi-fi systems that fill your space with crystal-clear sound, they've got you covered. Need lightning-fast, reliable internet? Their Starlink internet installations bring cutting-edge connectivity right to your doorstep. Plus, John Whitford Communications offers property-wide Wi-Fi, so you're always connected no matter where you are. They also provide Wi-Fi for events and emergencies to keep everyone connected when it matters most. And for your peace of mind, John Whitford Communications provides top-notch security cameras for gates, barns, businesses, and homes. Trust John Whitford Communications to bring the best technology to you. Call today at 805-461-3030, 805-461-3030, or visit johnwhitford.com. The best in the West.
Hi, it's Brian Carroll from A1 Glass. Get rewarded when you upgrade to Milgard windows and doors and earn up to $100 back per patio door and up to $40 back per Milgard window. Enjoy better comfort, energy efficiency, a home that looks incredible, and huge savings. Don't wait, the spring sales event ends June 8th. Plus, A1 Glass is your local family-owned award-winning team, voted best on the Central Coast. A1 Glass, for all your glass needs.
Qualifying Milgard products only. Rewards issued as electronic gift cards. See A1 Glass for details.
And welcome back. This is Gearhead Radio. Thanks for tuning in. Getting down to the end of the show here, just about 10 minutes or less left. It's always fun coming here. I appreciate you being here. Phone lines are open if you have any lingering questions or comments or concerns. 805-238-5775. If not, we'll be back at the shop 8 a.m. Monday morning, 8 to 5 to help you out. Come on down anytime. From alignments to smogs, oil changes to transmissions and engines and everything in between. Also, brake fluid flushes and AC service. Whether you have the older style 134A or YF1234, we can help you with that. Good morning on Gearhead Radio.
Good morning. I wanted to tell you that I was up in San Francisco for a couple days in January, and we actually walked for 5 or 6 hours and went to a concert, and it was almost 10:30 when we got out, and we took a Waymo back to our hotel, and it was really interesting. They are everywhere in San Francisco. I mean, every we walked, we saw them. They're very unique vehicles as far as the appearance. They have this big black thing on top of the roof, which is bigger than a basketball, so they're very easy to spot. And I have to say, I was scared to death to get into that vehicle, which my friend, who actually has a cell phone and used the app, this vehicle addressed him name first and last, because I was thinking, like, anybody could get into this vehicle. They don't know what, I don't think, you know, they don't know what this person looks like. But anyway, it was really interesting. I was scared to death. It was only a 20-minute ride, and this vehicle did need to take some evasive action when a vehicle pulled out of a parking spot kind of suddenly, and did take the most efficient way back to the hotel. So I was really frightened. It just, you know, it's just something that you've just never done.
Yeah.
And I hope I never do it again. But anyway, I just want to let you know that they are, like, everywhere in San Francisco. I think there's over 500 of those vehicles running around, and there's people jumping in and out.
And are they charging for them, or are they still no cost?
I have no idea, because I was just the passenger, and it was my friend that booked it. And interestingly enough, we were on a major street at a concert venue, but it wasn't able to pick us up, like, right in front of the venue. So we had to go around the block and then it was just sitting there waiting in a lane of traffic, which I just thought was crazy. I just thought the whole experience was completely unusual for me, and I don't know what it costs because I didn't ask. I tried to be polite and not say anything.
Sure.
But I was pretty frightened, and it was a really interesting experience. So
yeah.
I don't know, but the other thing I wanted to say is that I have this 1998 Nissan Sentra that I told you about, which I've owned since 2002. I bought it, paid cash. It's a it's just a base model, you know, manual crank windows, which is what I wanted. And I have done all the maintenance thankfully, I have excellent mechanics that have worked on it, as well as myself. And it's got 300,000. I haven't done anything. I've changed, like, the alternator once, and I've changed the tires and brakes and all that maintenance routine. And the only thing I've had to change out was the catalytic converter, which is integrated to the exhaust manifold. And it was like $500. But that's cool.
Yeah, that's an impressive one. Yeah, that's good. That's great.
2002. Yeah, I know. And it's a daily driver. I mean, it runs perfect. I don't know why. It's just pure luck.
Just keep doing whatever you're doing.
Yep, I know. I always knock on wood when I talk about it. My friends are like, I can't believe this is still running. I'm like, yeah, it is. So I'm just really grateful that Nissan's engineering is superb and really excellent parts that have gone into it, what few I've done. And so I'm real happy about that.
That's awesome.
Yep.
Well, thanks so much for the call.
You bet. Bye-bye.
Bye. Just a little maintenance, huh? The new stuff on the horizon. Where was I? Oh, the brake fluid. That's right. Yeah, speaking of maintenance, yeah, one of the underrated ones is the brake fluid. And getting into that a little bit more, they're talking about GM's recalling 40,000 bottles. So you're trying to do the maintenance yourself and buy the right parts, right? Be careful with what you're buying. The recall documents show that the AC Delco brake fluid has visible sediment, which can worsen brake performance, to say the least. You know, vehicles, not even nowadays, back in 2000, right? ABS came out, the analog brake system. There's a little module in there. All the fluid runs through this little block. There's valves and small passages in there. You do not want to get sediment in there. You don't want sludge building up in there. And I think brake fluid flushing has become more important in the last two decades than it ever has been. And in just in the last few years, even more important. Because they're reinventing the wheel when it comes to brakes. And they're adding, you know, analog brake systems. And the modules are getting bigger, which means the passages are getting smaller. They get to the point like some of these GMs have a viscosity rating for their brake fluid. Right, that's like, so they're very specific and they want a certain brake fluid. It's a .5 and they want that .5 in some of these newer GMs. And if you don't, it starts affecting brake performance. And it's similar to like transmissions if you use the wrong viscosity transmission fluid. Same with engine oil. You use the wrong viscosity engine oil. It causes misfires. So you're having brake performance issues being caused by the wrong brake fluid. Now you can't tell me that if the brake fluid's in there and it starts getting dirty and sludged and contaminated, that it's also not going to degrade the brake performance. You see what I'm saying? Like if you could put brand new brake fluid in there, but if it's the wrong style, you get a lack of performance. Well, that also means that if that brake fluid starts breaking down and starts getting moisture in it and sludge in it, it's also going to do the same thing. Same with engine oil, same with transmission fluid. The fluid starts breaking down, it loses its surfactants, it loses its friction modifiers because it's been there for too long, it's tarnished, it's gotten hot too many times. It's going to affect the engine performance, it's going to affect the transmission performance, and same with the brake fluid. Same with every coolant, every fluid in the vehicle. It's not 1970 anymore. You can't just put crude oil and stuff and it's going to last forever. There's very specific sensors that are looking for, you know, the viscosity of the oil or fluid, the viscosity of the fluid that's in the vehicle to be very specific. So if it breaks down over time, it loses that very specific viscosity that it needs. With this here in the recall, General Motors issued a non-compliance recall affecting 40,000 bottles of the brake fluid that failed to comply with the Federal Motor Vehicle Standards. Documents filed with the NHTSA show, according to the recall, the issue specifically covers a subset of .3 and brake and clutch fluid with the part number 19353126. You're probably not going to remember that, but it's just the AC Delco .3 fluid. But they were able to find actual visible particulates in the brake fluid. Man, talk about trying to do something good and having it backfire on you. I think like I talked a little bit earlier about like cars that start having problems after problem. And sometimes if you replace a part that doesn't fix the problem, but then that part is also bad because it's new and it's defective. Boy. Anyway. I look forward to next Saturday. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Gearhead Radio with Jimmy Purdy is brought to you by Shifting Gears and Paso Robles on River Road. You can trust Jimmy and his team to take care of you and your vehicle the first time, every time. You're listening to The Right Choice, AM 1230, KPRL 99.3 FM. Paso Robles, Tascadero, and Templeton.